is in! Arkell has scored!
The Argyle Podcast, the official podcast of Plymouth Argyle Football Club, with Charlie Price.
Hello, yes, this is the Argyle Podcast. I am Charlie Price. Now, before we get stuck in to this week's episode, just a little heads up to say that it is a little bit different to normal. We've got a brand new feature which is running on Argyle TV as well as on the podcast. It's called Argyle Fives. I hope you enjoy it.
Argyle has scored!
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to never miss an episode. This is the Argyle Podcast.
Hello, this is Argyle Fives. I am Charlie Price, and it's a brand new feature brought to you by the Football Club in conjunction with Argyle TV and the Argyle Podcast. And it involves myself, Rob McNichol, media officer at Argyle, and, of course, Kevin Nanskerville, first team coach. And we're going to decide on top fives of different subjects to do with Argyle. Now, we've decided to come up with a strong first one to kick things off for Argyle Fives, and it is Devonport End goals. Now, the whole thing here is that we are going to bring nominees to the table, this table here. We're going to fight it out over what we think should be included in that top five, and at the end of it, we should hopefully come up with a top five. Now, people will obviously disagree with us. That's absolutely fine. If you do, let us know what should have been in there instead. But Devonport End goals, Kevin Nanskerville, what is it about? Don't go into your list just yet. Just calm down.
I'm ready.
What is it about the Devonport End that makes it special scoring there as opposed to the Barn Park, for example?
Well, it's our end, isn't it? You know, it's the home end. It's the noise. It's where everyone goes. So your dream is to score at the Devonport End. Lots have done it with some fantastic goals, some really significant goals, so we'll have a little battle to decide who's right and who's wrong. But the Devonport End is everything. The flags, when the players come out, that's the first thing they look at. So it's special, really, really special.
And that's from a coach's plus player's point of view, Rob. And we've both stood in the Devonport End in the various guises, as have you, obviously.
Nance. I have,
but,
yeah.
But definitely. Obviously, when you're in that Devonport End, it does sort of feel, maybe you remember the goals more. We'll find out.
I think that's probably true. And I know that when I first, I'm not far off of 30 years since my first game as a fan. And I remember that I started in the old Lyndhurst, and then I stood for a long time on the Kop actually first, and then in the Mayflower just behind the tunnel. So I've been all over the place, and I kind of wanted to get to the Devonport End. And I went there during our championship years, you know, when we first got back there. When the temporary seating went in, I went to the Devonport End for, you know, 5-6 years and had a season ticket at the back there. And you're right, I do remember ones during that era, I think, a little bit more because they seem to be coming right at me. And I think it's also a little bit more special because if all is right with the world and everyone does the coin toss right, we're going there in the second half. So there's maybe a little bit more significance in the second period. They're often a more significant goal. So I think that plays into it as well.
I can remember standing in the Devonport End with no roof for a couple of seasons. So
this is not the intention here is not the Monty Python Yorkshireman sketch, and it's okay. I took me 25 hours to get to work, and I woke up before I went to sleep. It's not one of those.
All right, Rob.
Just before we get into it, have you ever scored at the Devonport End?
Well, funny you should mention that. I am going to bring it up because Buster Phillips is one of my best friends, as you well know, godparent to one of my daughters. My debut against Mansfield, no one will remember this. No one can remember me playing, so I'm going to bring it up. I came on a sub for Paul McGregor, and I made a run through. Buster delayed his pass, which I'll never forgive him for. He slid me through. I did see in the corner of my eye the flag go up from the linesman. I pretended he hadn't put it up, and I carried on.
Slotted,
I think, everybody
anyway.
Else stopped, including the goalkeeper of Mansfield and the defenders, but I did round the goalkeeper and tap it into an empty net. I closed my eyes praying that I wasn't dreaming and that the linesman didn't flag. He did flag, and it didn't count, did it? And I never scored at the Devonport End. But Buster is reminded about it every month or so. What could have been?
So the answer after everything is no there.
No,
Have you, Rob?
No.
You know fine well that I haven't, but I also know what your answer is, so do you want to get it out of the way?
Yeah, well, I have scored at the Devonport End, and it wasn't offside, Nance. Okay. And there actually is video evidence of it.
Was there anybody there?
Well, there's video evidence, so yes.
Yeah, but was there anybody in the stadium?
Yes.
Okay. There were
nearly double figures.
Well, there was 22 players playing. Corner from the left-hand side, corner of the Mayflower and the Devonport. Swung in. Price makes a little dart to the near post. Jinks to the far post. Rises like nothing you've ever seen and just plants a header past... I can't remember who was in goal, actually.
Probably was
Michael Cooper. Someone of that sort
of
ability.
Course, yeah.
Didn't even move. I can happily get the clip out.
Why have we not got photos of that up and around the club?
Yeah, exactly.
let's get that sorted.
I know. Anyway, all joking aside, this is about proper goals, mm-hmm. not offside goals, not staff game goals where no one can really move apart from to maybe leap 2 foot in the air. These are proper goals that have been scored at the Devonport end. We've got to try and find five between us, mm-hmm. which I think is going to be difficult.
Plymouth Argyle have taken the lead at Stamford Bridge. Can you believe this?
You're listening to the Argyle podcast, the official podcast of Plymouth Argyle Football Club.
I think what we should do is we should all pitch one straight away.
What, our strongest one?
Well, I'm going to leave it up to you. If you want to go your most passionate or one that you just want to get out there, but Nan, do you want to start?
I'd love to start, yeah. So I'm passionate about all these goals. So you boys are going to be in trouble because all five of these are going to be in, all right?
okay. But let's end that there.
But I'm going to take you back to a nice balmy evening in April 1986. We are getting promoted.
Yeah.
We're due to play Bristol City at home. We're flying. We need a win to get promoted, and we're done. And it was a beautiful evening. I'll never forget it. I can remember queuing to get into the corner. I was actually in the Lyndhurst end this time, but I was there. So this goal's got more significance. Lots of the viewers and listeners will remember this game really, really fondly. We managed to beat Bristol City 4-0. We blew them away. Absolutely blew them away. We got promoted. I think we were 1-0 up at halftime, if I'm correct. And then we scored direct from a corner to make it 2 or 3. And the last goal is the one that has got to go in. It's got to go in. It was scored by our true icon, Tommy Tynan. It was a diving header at the Devonport end. I can picture it now. Hodgie's got the ball inside the penalty area, just inside. He's weaved his magic and he's put a left foot across in. And Tommy's flew at it. Absolutely flew at it, and it's hit the roof of the net. 4-0, we're up. It doesn't get any better. It was a beautiful evening. It was the green of Argyle against the red of Bristol City. Magical. We win, we get promoted. I'm on the pitch with the other 4 or 5 players, and please don't tell anybody at the club now because I'll probably get kicked out.
Thank goodness it's not being recorded.
I did get on the pitch that night. I will apologise, and anybody of that era we'll remember what a great team that was. So, my first point is Tommy Tynan's goal against Bristol City, Tuesday, April the 29th, 1986, has got to go in. So, that's one done.
It is quite difficult to argue with that.
But with him, particularly.
With him, because
I'm not being pushy or anything, no, but it's got to go in.
To be fair, I don't want to argue with it because I have seen the goal. I do know the goal and I've seen all of them. It's amazing that we scored directly from a corner.
Yeah.
In that game and in the Derby game a couple of years earlier in the Cup run.
Spot on.
It's mad that happens. Yeah. They are all great goals, and I think the fact that, you know, as you said, it's you know, getting Tommy into this list feels like we kind of ought to in some ways. Is it the goal? How much of it is the goal, and how much of it is the occasion? Clearly, a big amount is the occasion, but was it a great goal as well?
Great goal. Take nothing away from the goal. If you watch it back, and like I said, Hodgie does what he does, or he did. Magical. He's done his magic, got a great cross in, and Tommy has flew at it, and it's hit the roof of the net. Diving header, Devonport end, Tuesday night, Bristol City promotion.
Hmm. Yeah.
You don't get many diving headers anymore.
No, that is true, actually. That is very true. And it is hard to argue with the fact that it was a promotion up to the second tier. Like you say, completely blew Bristol City away. If I remember it correctly as well, so not just did Kevin Hodges do brilliantly to whip the ball in from that side, but I think there was a cross that was deflected, lobbed miles in the air, and Hodgie brought it down.
Yeah, spot on.
Spun the player, clipped it in. It was sorry, Tommy, and I'd probably miss it, but it was probably an easy finish for Tommy. But he made
it look easy.
Well, maybe, yeah, exactly.
I know what you mean,
but
Tom,
it was,
know
it was
mean,
put
yeah.
on a plate. But yeah, I mean,
it was a great goal.
It's difficult to argue. with that.
Well, we don't need to argue. Just
we're not sure. We're all in it together. Yeah. We're one Argo. But it was this great night, and I was 14, 15 at the time. It was my team, all that team are my heroes. So, yeah, fantastic night.
Good pitch. Go, Rob.
I'm going to go with my first one anyway, very recent. And I think sometimes with these things, you could have a bit of a recency bias, couldn't you? The ones that have happened more recently, you remember better. But to have something in a promotion season in the game in which you get promoted clearly makes a lot of sense. I'm going to do one from last season in a promotion year. And as I said, you know, 30th season or so following Argyle, as good as one as we've ever had. Probably the best game in that, or the most exciting game, was winning against Exeter at home on the telly. And the best goal in that game was Barley Mumba from a very long way out. It was a wonderful strike. And I just think on that night and on that day, it just felt like everything. It was a crucial time of the game. And I just feel that game is a microcosm of the whole season. And that was, to me, that was the best goal of the campaign. What do you think, Nat?
Go on.
I've got it on my list, but I've got another goal in that game that I think deserves equally mentioned. You're right. It was a fantastic night. The atmosphere, it was a Sky game. The nature of the game, it was topsy-turvy all the way through. Fantastic spectacle, and it was a beautiful night as well. Barley's goal was one unbelievable strike at a crucial time. I'm going to throw in there, and again, I get the Barley shout. I think Ryan's goal was equally as good.
Which one?
The second one to finish it.
The clincher.
The clincher at 4-2. So if you see it, we win the ball in midfield, which is something that we'd worked on. Morgan does great. He slides a ball through, and Ryan does what he does. He outpaces the defenders, and he slots it home. Devonport end, arms in the air, and we knew then we'd won the game. Good point. I'm quite happy with either of those games.
This is going to be the kind of thing that we're going to come back to, which is that part is the occasion and part is the goal. Yeah. I think the feeling of Ryan's goal, and by the way, it is a great goal as well. I'm not doing it down.
Yeah.
It's the feeling of winning.
Sure.
And maybe Tommy's is as well, capping off that 4-0.
Yeah.
I think I put Barley in for the quality of the... I think on any night, on any game, if we had been 5-0 down and he scores that goal, it's still one of the great goals, yeah. But it happened to be at home against Exeter on the telly.
I'm interested to know, from your point of view, sat or stood... on the touchline, when the ball breaks to Barley and literally half of Home Park just shouts, shoot.
Yeah.
When he does, what are you actually thinking? Well, like, what on earth are you doing?
No, not at all. You've got every confidence in Barley because we've seen him do it on many occasions. So we're quite happy to let him shoot and produce what he produces. I think going back to what you're saying about the actual game, Barley's was a fantastic strike. Ryan's a fantastic team goal, you could say. It was 3 years in waiting, that win.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, we'd all suffered, you know, and all true Argyle fans had suffered. I can remember being on the touchline that day at St James's Park when we got badly beaten. So I think the emotion of that derby was huge, and all the goals were fantastic. But Barley's, yeah, Rob, I'm with you. I'm quite happy for you. It's a good case, but I want to throw Ryan's goal into that mix as well.
I've put it down. Just one final thing on that Barley strike as well. And I think a lot of people will get what I'm about to say here. So there's the shoot when he picks up the ball. Then there's a momentary silence and the net makes this sort of like clicking noise. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly explosion.
Yeah,
I think all of that just adds to that goal. So, okay. We're all kind of getting along a bit too nicely at the moment.
Well, we can sort that out. That's
we can sort that out. I'm going to chuck a name in and a goal in. So we won't come up with a final five until the end. It's going to be quite difficult because we've already named three.
I know.
Which could well and truly be in that list. So mine is not a particularly great occasion.
Go on.
But it is an unbelievable goal and probably one of the best goals I think I've seen at Home Park.
Okay.
And it was in 2007.
Okay, no, I've not got that one. Go on.
And Scott Sinclair.
Yeah.
Fresh from actually scoring a wonder goal at Underhill in Barnet maybe a month or so earlier. Picks up the ball on the halfway line. Does his magic down the left-hand side. Jinks in and out of three or four players. Cuts onto his right foot from the edge of the box. And curls the ball beautifully in off the bar. Mm. Which I think adds a little bit to a goal against Crystal Palace. Now, that, I think, was in a 2-3-0 win, 3-1 win, 2-1 win, whatever. So it wasn't a groundbreaking moment. But for absolute quality, I can't remember seeing anything better.
No, great goal. I remember it. Scott was wow, what an exciting player he was, wasn't he? So, like you said, he'd done it against Barnet as well. It was a fantastic goal. I think if we're talking about fantastic goals, then, yeah, it's going to be up there. Does it get in our top five? I would hate to be disrespectful because it was a goal that only Scott Sinclair probably could have scored, and it was unbelievable. I'm not sure. I think we've got better coming.
Well, so, okay, but I'm going to vociferously argue this point,
right.
And I think Rob actually might have a similar argument because he's said similar to me before.
Okay,
take Barley's goal.
Yeah.
If a player, most players that play professionally, if they connect with a shot from that sort of range, it could go in.
Yeah, but
if Tommy Tynan, some players might be able to head the ball in from 8 yards after a good move. Sorry, Tommy. Not many, you've just said it, only Scott Sinclair really could have scored that goal.
Yeah.
So for him to do it at that moment and just everything to be absolutely perfect, and Palace, who were a great team, not to be able to get anywhere near him.
Yeah, no, all of that I agree with.
You're not going to see many other goals like that at Home Park.
No. We're going to have a job to get down to five if we're going to put Scott's in, because I want to throw one in.
Can I just mention about Scott's one? Because
I do.
It is on my. I've got a very long list, so it's not necessarily my final one.
I didn't want to put it on my list because I knew that I'm sure you guys would have bring it up, but totally respect the goal.
I want to say in terms of, I agree with what you're saying, that to me there is something a bit special about a mazy run, an individual goal, and I think that goal and the Barnet one encapsulated what he brought for that period of time on loan. You know, we didn't really know a lot about him when he came in, a 17-year-old on loan from Chelsea. Anything could, you know, he could just be coming to Argyle to learn his trade and not get anywhere. But he did. He's had a great career, and he had a couple of those goals. Both of you like a quiz. Do you know the last two players who he dribbled past, sort of dribbles between two and then hits the finish? One of them in particular.
I really want Eddie to be one of them.
Well, I'll give you one. One of them is Danny Butterfield, right? He was a good Palace right back for a long time. The other one does have a very big Argyle connection.
Well, it isn't Mark Edward, is it?
It's Carl Fletcher.
Carl Fletcher?
Well, I should know that.
Surely that.
Fletcher, what are you doing?
At least according to the commentary. And actually, that's quite an interesting thing.
Fletcher couldn't defend against Scott Sinclair. It's a mismatch.
He obviously loved us at that point.
Fletcher was a midfield
just
player.
Just let it in. Yeah.
But I think in terms of the quality of that, not only, I mentioned about the commentary that, you know, ringing a bell with me that it was Fletch. Whenever you find a clip of that goal online somewhere, you'd never actually see the whole thing.
No.
It starts with him on the halfway line, but he'd already had the ball for about 30 yards by the time he got to that point.
Yeah, that is
extraordinary.
Okay, it's a very individual goal, isn't it? It deserves to be mentioned and brought to the table. I'm not sure it gets in our top five.
Well, listen, I'm writing all the goals down, so at the end we will have to whittle it down.
Okay.
And you're keen to go again.
Well, only if we're talking about special goals that weren't exactly iconic games and nostalgic moments, i.e. Bristol City or Exeter City. And I'm going to throw in one that was taking place in 1999.
Okay.
Okay. Against Shrewsbury. Very insignificant game. I think we won 2-0, but I'm not going to be totally convinced about that. And Michael van Basten scored a goal for...
I know the goal now. Yeah.
Michael van Basten scored that... Remember that volley from Holland
Euro
in the Euro
final?
To make it 2-0. Balls come across and boom. Martin Barlow done that for us. Chopsy scored one as good, I'm going to say as good as that. It was a long throw-in into the box. It got headed out. And Chopsy, who had an unbelievable technique, he was a fantastic player, Martin. I was lucky to play with him for the short time I was at the club playing. And he connected and caught it. And if you watch it back and have a look back at it, that's got to be up there. If you're talking Scott Sinclair's goal, then Chopsy's has got to be in for individual brilliance technique.
You might be a better Googler or YouTuber than me because I couldn't find it. If you can find it, please have a look. But I do remember it, though, and I remember it being spoken about. And I guess sometimes goals maybe grow in your brain over a long period of time. What's that, 24 years ago or so? Yeah. Maybe the lore of it. Maybe you'd actually see it and go, oh, it's not as good as I remember. But I was at that game. I absolutely remember that. Did he score both goals that day? I have a feeling he got another one, but that could be another game I'm thinking
of. He might have.
But it was really wide on the right and he flashed it in.
If you get a chance to see, if we're talking about brilliant, stunning individual goals at the Devonport end for Plymouth Argyle, well, I think Martin would be pretty cheesed off if his goal wasn't brought to the table.
Certainly should be in the conversation. And actually, he's a kind of player that I think that...
Definitely Shrewsbury.
Yes.
That does sound right.
Yeah, 1999.
I think sometimes when we talk about players of in Argyle's history, I think sometimes he's a little underrated, Martin Barlow. He played 400 and something games for us, scored plenty of goals, was in a promotion team, you know, and a proper got his head down, worked hard, played a couple of positions. I often think when we talk about really good Argyle players, particularly of the last 20 or 30 years in my time watching, I think maybe he gets a little bit underrated.
I agree, Rob. He came through the system. Like I said, when I joined in 2000, Martin was there and he was the senior player and he was fantastic to me, and he was just a great footballer. He was a very, very talented footballer. And he was born in Barnstaple as well, where I was born in Barnstaple. So that definitely merits him being brought to the table.
So I've actually found it.
Okay.
And Dwight Marshall scored the other goal in that game. So this is live.
Like watching YouTube live on Argyle TV.
I mean, we're going to have to try and. Can you remember?
Well, it's in the second half, so you're going to have to forward it quite a little way.
Just talk amongst yourselves.
Maybe the magic will have been worked over this, and people will be able to see it like we're watching.
When you actually see it.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean that. I've just seen the replay.
Yeah. It's Martin Dean doing the commentary.
Yeah, the late Martin Dean. There, so. Very good.
With the Martin Dean commentary. So if we were to scoot that back a little bit. That's the celebration. So, yeah, Dwight Marshall scored the other goal in that game.
Another great player.
I'm pretty certain it was a long throw that got cleared.
Here it is.
Here it is. Watch
There's
this.
The go. Talk us through it.
So,
next.
Gets cleared. Boom.
Oh, now, my word.
Van Basten's goal wasn't much different than that.
Just I was on that corner, but just above it on the cop on the corner.
Final in 1988. It's got to be a contender, lads.
I was willing to argue that because I hadn't seen it, and I wanted, you know, you hadn't, you just chucked Marco van Basten in there, but it's very easy to do that. Having just seen that goal,
you're
spot on.
This is a very serious podcast.
You are spot on with that.
We're talking about Devonport end goals that mean everything to the Green Army. It's got to be a contender. Sorry.
That's excellent. Right, we're going to do a couple of quick fires. So, Rob. Again, just give us another one and just why. We won't argue with it just yet.
Okay.
Well, do you know what? Since we're doing it quickfire, I'll give you a couple that I think are worth talking about but probably shouldn't make the final list. One of them was a particularly special one to me, which is the first time I was ever in the Devonport end, was when Argyle played Coventry in the FA Cup in 1996, early 96, and Ian Baird scored a free kick.
Okay.
And that put us 1-0 up. We lost the game 3-1. But to me, that was an enormous occasion. It's the biggest crowd I'd been in at Home Park at that stage. I think it was about 16,000, about what we get now. And we played really, really well against a Premier League Coventry team that day. We didn't go through. But it's a special one to me because that's the first time I was ever in that end. And it felt like the biggest game I'd been to at that point as a 11-year-old or 12-year-old, whatever I was at that point. And from a similar sort of era... I'll throw in a goal that Steve Guinan scored on his debut. He scored a hat-trick on his debut. And the third one in particular is a fantastic goal where he jinks inside a couple and pulls it across the goalkeeper. I don't think either of those two are going to be in this final list. We're talking really great goals. But I wouldn't want to go by without mentioning those two from that particular era, which I think would get a little bit forgotten.
Okay. My quick fire will be another absolute belter that was scored. And I was commentating as well. And I remember it so vividly. Stood in... in the commentary position in the Mayflower and just watching it float in. It was Graham Carey. And, he could probably have a top 10 by himself, to be honest.
You're not wrong.
Against Yeovil, 4-1 win.
Okay.
2016, I think
it
was.
Yeah, I remember it.
And he picked up the ball middle of midfield, knocked it through the legs of one player, drifted onto his left foot and floated this ball up and over the top of the keeper. It looked like it was a lob, but it had power. And just drifted into the top of the top corner, top right corner. Keeper didn't even move. He was absolutely sumptuous.
Do you know what you said earlier on about when it hits the bar? There's something about a goal going in off the bar. There's also something about a goal when the goalkeeper just stands there and watches a goal go by.
Couldn't do anything with it.
No. Couldn't do nothing.
Keeper.
Yeah.
And Carey, you would have worked with him.
Yeah, I
worked with Graham. Unbelievable technique, didn't he?
Unbelievable technique. Could thump a ball. Probably Watsey was the only one that would thump it a bit harder than G. But G, have you... Do you want to go or am I jumping in on you now?
No, go.
So my quickfire one would, if we're on G, would be Graham Carey against Millwall.
Yeah, I mean, that was also
Johnston's
close.
Paint. Yeah. I know we lost that night. I'm going to say 40-odd?
Yeah.
Easily.
Outrageous.
40-odd?
And that always feels like when people say, it's a 25-yarder and they were like an inch outside the area. That was 40 yards.
He shouldn't be shooting from there. He shouldn't be hitting that. And it wasn't a keeper's mistake. That's flew in. Yeah. Flew in. 40 yards.
The real travesty with that goal was that it was in the Johnston's Paint Trophy and there was barely anyone in the ground.
But, we lost 5-3, but did we?
It was a Devonport end goal. And by the way, you're right, what you're saying. We could probably go another 5 or 6 on Graham Carey goals.
But I'll show you my work in there. Mine says Carey v Millwall, brackets also Yeovil. I've got both of those
exactly.
down.
Exactly. So, yeah, that would be my quick fire one.
Okay, well, we've chucked those in. Right, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We've got 8 goals there. Right. We're going to have a little break.
Okay,
because
sure.
this is, my head is about to explode.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll do the last few and then we'll decide our final five.
All right, I'm just getting warmed up, man. I'm ready to go again.
This is the Argyle Podcast.
Okay, we've had our comfort break. We've simmered over a couple of those options. We're back for part two, and I think probably the best thing to do is just to fly in with your remaining nominees. And I'm not going to go to you first, Nance, because we started with you the last couple of times. Rob, your remaining nominees that you think need to be in this list of our Argyle Fives top 10 Devonport end goals.
Well, I'll go with one in particular because I think there's a quality element to it, and it's also a memorable thing in terms of, you just said earlier on, Nance, about we weren't on Match of the Day very often.
No.
Well, this is the only time I can remember us being in the Match of the Day goal of the month. I'm sure we were in others, but this is the one that I remember. Paul Dalton scored a goal against Barnsley, which was an individual Maisie run goal. It was in 1994, a brilliant season, my first season as a supporter, but a fantastic season with Peter Shilton at the helm. And in this particular game, Dwight Marshall also scored a fantastic goal in this game as well, curled one into the top corner. But Dalton's goal, taking it a long, long way out. Great feet. He had brilliant feet, didn't he, Paul Dalton? A great dribbler.
Player. Fantastic
player. And he managed to get into the box. And just every time they thought they had him, he dived away and got away from another one and slots it in. It's a brilliant, brilliant goal. It's that individual thing. It was in the FA Cup against Barnsley. The game was 2-2. I think we lost the replay.
Yeah.
But that's why it was on the Match of the Day goal of the month, because they would have had the road to Wembley back then.
Sure.
But to me, that was a very, very special goal by a really great player. What that early team, that, in terms of my being a supporter, you pick certain players, don't you? And Paul Dalton and Steve McCall were, to me, the best players in the world. I loved watching those two, and Dalton in particular for that one. So that's the first one I'm chucking.
Yep, that's down.
I won't hog it because I suspect other people might have similar. But you want me to do another one?
Yeah. Just get rid of all of the ones you think should be in.
The only other one I think's in the top discussion is Jamie Mackie scored a goal against Reading.
Yes.
And there's another one that was covered a little bit more, actually. I think it was when ITV might have had the championship and
goal.
We were a featured game.
Great goal.
And that is a perfect example about what you said earlier, Charlie, about being in the Devonport end and almost feeling that goal come to you, hearing it in going the net. I don't think I've ever seen, again, sorry Watts, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone hit the ball harder than Mackie did on that particular occasion. Just a wonderful goal.
That also, if I remember this rightly, was a feature game on that highlight show.
It was,
And 4-1. Yeah, terrific goal. Right.
I think John Champion possibly doing the commentary. Okay. Not absolutely certain, but it felt like a big deal to us.
Is that it? Those final two that you want definitely in the conversation?
I think before we finish, there's a couple I'd like to mention, but they are no more than a one-liner. Yeah. Or even that, I think, is a big thing to get on that kind of list. But they're the only two I would probably argue for as when we get to the end.
Yeah, okay. Nance, go on then.
Go on in. So I'm surprised we've got this far without mentioning QPR promotion again, April. And I know it's an iconic moment, and the goal probably wasn't a Paul Dalton or a Martin Barlow or a Graham Carey type goal, but it was a great goal. So Friel doing what he'd done best, bursting through into the penalty box, finishing with aplomb, Devonport end, were promoted 2004. And I think everyone, and I mean every Argyle fan, will just think of Sparksy.
Yeah.
So the commentary is iconic in itself, the goal's iconic in itself. The day itself, it's got to go in. It's got to go in. That's one.
Do you know what? And I absolutely agree. That one probably does tip it over because of you cannot separate the goal from the commentary because of what that meant to us and how simplistic it was.
Yeah.
how beautiful, you know, the best bits of commentary are just those little simple bits, aren't they? Porterfield 1-0,
yeah.
2-0, that's it, Argyle are up. I actually, without the commentary, probably would have gone for the first goal, Mickey Evans' header, because it broke the tension. For 80 minutes it had been 0-0, and that was the one that got us in front. 3-0, and I'll use this advisedly, was the coup de grace, wasn't it, to do that one. But it was, to me, it was Mickey's goal that broke it. But yeah, I think Gordon tips it in Frio's favour.
The argument for me will be that goal will make every Argos hair stand up on their arms when it's mentioned and brought up. And it was a great finish. It was take nothing away from that. We've not mentioned Peter Hartley yet. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about the Devonport end, which is what this topic's all about, let's not forget that. I've never heard a noise quite as great as I did that night when Peter Hartley managed to get the goal in to send us to Wembley. Must have been 4 or 5 minutes into injury time. It wasn't a great goal. It wasn't a great goal. I'm not going to sit here and say it was one of the best goals we've seen. However, the most important goals, it's got to be right up there. Corner comes in, 4 minutes into injury time, playoffs, and Hartley scores with a header, sends us to Wembley. I've not experienced noise quite like that too many times since. Last season we had a few occasions, but that was an iconic goal. I'm going to throw that one in there.
Before you move on that one, can I just say on that that I think that so many great moments of football are about the story, aren't they? Not just about the moment or the goal, but the story. And Peter Hartley in the semi-final had that little bit of a run-in, hadn't he, with Gary Roberts. And even if you go back to the previous year, our heartache in the playoffs against Wickham, all of that builds up to that moment. I know we didn't win the final, but you're right, for the moment, amazing.
That game, Argyle Portsmouth has always been the Dockyard
especially at
derby.
At
that time, there was a bit of needle between the staff.
Quite right.
There was a lot of needle between the two clubs at the time. Yeah. There's always been that between the supporters. And when you talk about supporters sucking the ball over the line, my God, it did that night. And if it wasn't from the Devonport end, I'm not sure we would have scored that goal.
That goal feels like the Luis Garcia goal that Liverpool scored against Chelsea.
Yeah.
Our equivalent of that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because, great show.
Because you're absolutely right. It was the messiest goal. Yeah. Not even sure the last touch came off, Pete. But
no.
It didn't really matter.
Nose shoulder at defender all. In.
Jake Jervis chucked himself into the crowd, got lost in the Devonport end as well. Amazing.
And there's, so we're going on there, and Charlie, I'll let you have a go in a minute. Jake Jervis's goal against Newport's not been mentioned.
I've got that one down.
And
we could go on and on and on and on. Charlie.
Right. Okay, I'm writing that down.
No pressure.
The thing is, you've said I haven't gone yet. The problem is I can't go because you've taken my two. So my remaining two were Peter Hartley against Portsmouth and David Frio against QPR.
I've got one more, by the way.
Okay. What a shock.
Sorry, I've got one more. So fantastic goals, all of them. Real iconic moments. We got 101 points last year. So we've delved into our history a little bit and talked about some big moments. We've talked about Exeter City, Barley's goal, Ryan's goal. As a member of staff last season, I think one of the big turning points was Morgan Whittaker's goal against Ipswich. So the winning goal that day gave us all a belief, gave us all a little bit of belief that we were going to go and do something special this year against one of the supposed big teams, which they are the big teams of the league at that time. Devonport end, fantastic strike, Sky game again, fantastic atmosphere. That's got to be in the mix as well, chap. Sorry.
Yep. I think for that game, I mentioned earlier on when I talked about Barley's goal against Exeter that I thought it was, you know, the most exciting game of the season and how much it meant to us in terms of being a derby. In terms of that game, I think Argyle versus Ipswich was the best game I saw last season. And I know more than one person who is a neutral and who knows a bit about football and watches it and says, that was so far above League One quality, that game. That was a brilliant game.
We were excellent in that game. Yeah.
And so
were
Ipswich.
A lot that.
Yeah, so were Ipswich. That was a great game.
I think that's what makes it even better. Because we were so good against such a good Ipswich team and won it. Yeah,
and showed that little bit of character.
And it was an unbelievable strike.
It was a great goal.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Are you outed?
Well,
you?
I am, but I do feel a bit guilty. And I feel like we've not... and I know Rob was going to mention this anyway. Poor Mariner scored some screamers, I'm sure, but I was a little bit too young to witness that. I can't believe I've not got a Watsy screamer in there.
I was literally just about to say
he's going to absolutely beat me up about this.
I'm a little bit
frightened because Watsy would have had his own catalogue, his own podcast, and his own goals, but I ain't got one in, mate. I'm sorry.
So I nearly had a Paul Watson goal, but the thing is, and Rob will testify to this because I was sweating trying to find the game because I can remember it happening, I'm sure it was an evening game. It must have been like 2005, 6, 7 sort of time. And I think it was against QPR. And we won 2-1 or drew. And the ball just came to him on the edge of the box. And you just knew he was going to score. Wallop, yeah. Smack, straight in. Can't find it anywhere. Can't even find a record of it on Green's on screen. So
it's going to come back
and haunt me. I don't
think
I dreamt it.
It is going to come back and haunt me.
If we're talking Watts goals, I think that there's one he scored a free kick on an angle, which I think was against Sunderland.
Right.
Really early in our first season back in the Championship, way back, which would have been in my thoughts. And if we were doing him, and I know we're not doing the other end, but if we were doing Barn Park end goals, there's a free kick he scored against Russian and Diamonds. I know, but you said about mentioning him. I thought I wanted to say something nice about
No, that's Watts. Void. That's void. Yeah. Have you got anything else you want to say? Any other goals you want to mention?
There's about four or five, but there are one line.
You having a go at me?
They're one line.
Quick.
Because I just think, again, one of the fun ones in terms of an emotion, it was a great game that we won 3-0. Paul Connolly scored his one and only goal at the Devonport end, and it was a really good goal. We beat Norwich 3-0. I wanted to mention that one. I haven't put against who it was against, but it was in the COVID behind closed doors season. I remember Conor Grant scored an amazing free kick.
Yeah.
Which has got a great camera angle behind where you can see it went outside the post and back
against
in.
Swindon, I
Swindon
think.
Sounds
yeah.
about
that was a
beauty. Right,
sort of come back to me in a minute.
Also going back, yeah, this is the last one actually, really. Going back to that 93-94 season, Steve McCall converted one of the best team goals I've ever seen at Home Park against Swansea, which was just a stunning set of 1-2 touch passes, and he came through and finished it off with the class that only he could do it with. Again, it's not quite in the top echelons, and it's a bit of a forgotten goal, but it's one.
Do you want any of them on this list?
No, I don't. These are just ones I want to mention. I'm done.
This one won't be on the list because it's not. But if we're talking about funny goals and amusement goals at Devonport End, Ryan Broom. Ryan Broom. Wow. Where did that rain come from?
Maybe fun moments or light-hearted moments is a future list.
How did that end up in the back of the net at the Devonport End? And the dive and all the players sliding into the corner of the Lindhurst Devonport End. Yeah, sorry.
Well, who is it Danny that nearly put that in?
Danny,
he's actually a little bit annoyed that he's
in
score.
Yeah, no, it was surreal to watch.
But is that an iconic goal? And it could well be, because it went absolutely viral, didn't it? All over the place.
I think if it came 5 minutes before, it might have been abandoned. So
yeah, absolutely.
It was. I've never experienced anything like that. And the goal itself, I don't think we'll ever experience anything like that again. So,
well, you clarify then, as the host, as the moderator here, is this best goals or is it iconic goals?
It is.
Devonport
top
end
five goals at the Devonport End.
Well, so it's open, open to that debate then,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. So it's open to interpretation. So I think Ryan Broom's does definitely qualify because it's totally iconic.
It can't go in.
Well, I might make the argument now that you've put it in there.
Well, we'll outvote you on that one.
It can't go in. Love Broomy. Fantastic lad. Got on really well with him. Great player. Can't go in.
Okay. I'm going to leave it just because it's a nice round 15 number that we've got.
Is it?
That we've got to try and get down to five,
which
is going to be difficult. So the 15 on the list are...
Right, so we're going to eliminate one.
Well, I'm just going to read them out in full, and then I'll read them out again and you can maybe vote on them.
Okay.
So
this could be an interesting bit.
This could go on for about 15 hours. Tommy Tynan, 1986, against Bristol City, diving header.
Right, it's in.
So... I'm just reading them out at the minute, man. Barley Mumba, last season against Exeter City. Ryan Hardy in the same game. Scott Sinclair, 2007 against Crystal Palace. Martin Barlow against Shrewsbury in 1999. Ian Baird against Coventry in 96 in the FA Cup. Graham Carey against Yeovil. Graham Carey against Millwall. We've got Jamie Mackey in 2008 against Reading, Paul Dalton, 94 against Barnsley, David Frio, the goal that sent us up against QPR, Peter Hartley's shoulder header against Portsmouth in the playoff semi-final, Jake Jervis scoring against Newport in 2017, Morgan Whittaker's winner against Ipswich last season, and just for fun, Ryan Broom's aquatic effort against Bolton. So you've automatically put Tommy Tynan's in.
Well, are we going against that? Or
well, so
speak up.
You can stop talking now for a second. And Rob, would you find a way to not have that in?
Only because my instinct would be, and I accept that it's not something that I saw live, and it's, you know, something I've only seen on a video. It's clearly a very important game. My instinct, and I get the feeling you two won't necessarily agree, is to go with great goals. It's the quality of the goal over the occasion is what my instinct is. If we're talking in shorthand, this would be, it will sound best goals, top goals. And actually, for example, using Hartley's on as an example, it's one of the most iconic moments, but it's not a great goal, it's a great moment. And to me, I slightly separate the two.
This is where interpretation comes in, because I think it's iconic, clearly, and it's not a bad goal.
It's a good goal.
So I would put that in as well.
Okay.
Have you got any?
No, not
okay. Tommy Tynans is locked in.
I think it's
in.
Just going to be interesting that in a minute we're going to go, okay, if that's the criteria for that, what about ones number 6 and 7?
Well,
but that's
well,
okay.
You Charlie's got a criteria now.
Just top 5 goals.
Okay.
So, Barley Mumbers against Exeter 2022, 3 season.
Well, it was the first one I put out, so I clearly am going to back it because I think it's the best goal in one of the best seasons against our local rivals. By the way, when you win a game against a Newport or a Bristol City or whatever, it does get you over the line, but it doesn't win you the league. It's not any more important than any other game during the season. And a lot of our supporters would say that beating Exeter is ever so slightly more important than any other game of the season. So is there a more important game than that Exeter one? I'm not sure there is. And to me, it's the best goal in that game. I know we've had this argument once already. I won't just repeat myself, but so that's why I would have that one.
Same question for you here, Nance. Like, because you obviously chucked the Hardy goal in there as well.
Can we rename this 10?
No, it's 5. So have you got, like, listening to Rob's argument there, can you disagree that Barley shouldn't be in there?
No, it shouldn't. I'm with you, Rob. It was Exeter City. It was under lights. It was fantastic goal. We're going to run out of here.
Well,
we're
okay.
Run out of space.
Let's say out of these two, one of Mumba and Hardy goes in. Your vote for Mumba.
I'll go with Mumba.
It's staying in. Barley Mumba. Thank
and that is absolutely not to do down the other goal, which is a great goal.
Scott Sinclair, 2007, Crystal Palace. So I'll make the argument for this. You're not going to see many better goals at all, ever, when you're at home park. The piece of skill that he produced that day was like nothing I have ever seen. And yes, it was in a meaningless game. It was in a game where nothing was on it. It was middle of the season. It wasn't, you know, didn't have promotion or relegation riding on it. But only he could have done that. It was 3 or 4 players. He went past one of our old managers as well, which is even better, and knocked it in off the bar. I don't think you're going to see any better goals than that.
See, this is where it's all about individual views, isn't it? So, do you prefer a dribble, or do you prefer a thunderbolt carry? So, for me, no, it doesn't get in.
Okay.
Rob,
only
are you siding
only because
here,
I know what's coming, and I think if it was my 5, I think it probably would be in. It's high up on my list. You obviously said it before I had a chance to, but I would have said it if you didn't. As an individual goal, I think it's probably when I use the word individual goal, I mean that as doing more than just one hit. You know, it's beating players and doing all that kind of stuff. I think it's the best individual goal I've ever seen.
Okay.
From an Argyle perspective,
I'm going to just leave it as a question mark. We'll come back to it because I think we'll whittle this down a little bit. The next goal, in a very similar vein, Martin Barlow against Shrewsbury. Having now seen it for the first time, I don't think you're going to see many better.
Impressed with it, aren't you?
I am impressed with it.
Yeah.
Is that, that's in your top 5 then?
Well, no, I didn't say that.
You chucked it in there.
I did.
So you're now rowing back on your own.
No, I'm not. But they can't all go in, can they? So, Graham Carey's goal against Millwall. I know you haven't got to that, sorry.
Basically, you are at that.
If it was
which one's the better goal? Graham Carey's goal against Millwall,
okay,
or
Chopsy's
goal against Shrewsbury?
Which one for you is better?
Carey's.
Do you know what? The technique of Chopsy's, the ball's dropping out of the air, to do that at the angle, technically, it's probably harder to do what Martin done than Graham done.
So which one are you choosing?
Oh, man.
I'm saying out of those two, which one are you choosing?
There's an internal battle going on within Nance at the moment, isn't there? I thought it was going
to
be difficult between the three of us. It's quite difficult just you on your own at the moment.
I'm struggling, yeah.
You say Carey out of those two.
I would instinctively say Carey, but I would also defer to the fact that Nance was a professional footballer and would know the technique better than me.
I, out of those two, and Graham's was a belter, and I would actually say Graham's against Yeovil is
worse. Yeah, you did say a different Graham, Carl.
Chop Martin Barlow for me.
Okay.
I don't think we'll see another goal like that for a long time. Well, we haven't, have we? That was 1999.
Yeah. It's hard to fight it. I'm not really fighting it.
Sorry, Rob. The two Careys are out.
I can't believe you haven't got Graham Carey going at the minute.
Ian Baird.
I'm hoping that one day we'll do an away goals one, and there's going to be loads of those.
We'll
in
be
there,
okay then.
No, I wasn't putting Baird up for one of the top ones. I just wanted to mention it as a big moment for me. As most of my other ones were, some of them were more personal than anything else.
So Ian Baird is coming out of there. The Paul Dalton one.
That's the only other one that in a personal list of mine I would probably have in.
So I haven't seen it. You described it very well. Again, it's a bit, not bit Sinclair-y, but it was
it's
a dribble.
It's similar.
Yeah.
It's right through the middle and it's jinking around players. I think it's the feet, the foot control is just stunning.
Do you know both of those goals?
Yeah, I do.
Which one for you is better out of Sinclair and Dalton?
How many have we got at the minute?
I'm just going through it. We've got two locked in.
And they are Tommy Tynan
and Barley Mumba.
And Barley Mumba. I thought we had Martin Barlow locked in, no?
I haven't locked him yet because there's another option that could get close to. So what I'm saying now,
I'd probably go
Sinclair or Dalton.
Sinclair.
Yeah, I think I would. Of those two, I'd go Sinclair as well.
Okay, but so there's not a lot in it, by the way. Sinclair's my
staying on the list.
Doors is amazing.
Plays me right.
So I'm now going to say Jamie Mackey's against Reading as an option because that was an absolute belter. And I'm going to put that in the same bracket as Martin Barlow's again here. So we're going to only have one of these two. Again, big hit, great strike in a game that meant nothing. So that's why they're being categorised.
If we're doing this head-to-head style,
yeah,
then I'm Barlow of those two. Yeah. And I'm actually Carey against Millwall ahead of Mackey against Reading as well.
So Mackey's out.
Even though I love the Jamie Mackey goal, I'm Carey ahead of the... I think that Carey maybe had to do a little bit more possibly, but that's being hard. That's being very, very picky. But I'm Barlow of those three.
Okay, so we're now going Sinclair against Barlow. Or do you think both deserve to be?
See, they're very different goals to me.
Yeah, but
okay, the ones we've been going before have been hits. These are very different.
Fine. Let's leave that. So we've got David Frio, 2004 QPR.
He's got to go in.
This is very similar to Tommy Tynan's goal in terms of feeling, emotion, promotion.
Is that not what it's all about?
It's one of the ingredients
so
that go into the pot.
So if you speak to the Devonport end now, that goal's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I also agree.
I think...
It's really, really hard not to.
I think the emotion of that one, Sparks' commentary will live with this football club forever. You can't take that one out.
It's also, again, if you want to kind of narrow it down on the goal, yes, it was a bit fortunate when it got through, but the finish
is
cool,
sublime.
Very...
And
beautiful,
it's also, when you said about Tommy earlier on, I never got to see Tommy Tynan play. I knew of him when I was a kid, but it was before I was coming to Argyle. I never saw Tommy play outside of, you know, testimonials later on. But I obviously got to see David, and in that era, we had an incredible team of incredible players, but to me, he was the iconic player of that era.
Yeah.
And for him to score that guy, by the way, Mickey Evans is a horsehair away from him as well. But to me, the fact that that's that... I don't want to mention any other people because that's not fair. But another player scoring that goal, it might not feel quite as much as it does because of just what he brought to that team. And we hadn't seen anyone like him
before. A bit
before.
Like Tommy, as you said, exactly
I don't think we'd seen anyone like David before he arrived.
No, I agree.
He was fresh, he was different. We didn't have a player like that before.
No, I think that's a good point.
Okay, I'm gonna go straight to Jake Jervis and just say, good moment, but it doesn't belong in this top five.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. It was on my list to mention, and it absolutely did. I'm glad we've talked about it.
Yeah.
And maybe we didn't talk about it, you know, quite enough in its significance because it was the moment that we knew. I think once that went in, we knew
that
we were there.
Our third goal, was it? Second goal.
I think it was the second,
our
I
second,
think.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We scored one and two quite quick together, but it was a brilliant moment where you could... Not only did we know that we were going up then, we knew it was a goal before it went in because there was that moment where he was clear and it was an empty net. It's a brilliant moment, but it's not top five worthy.
No.
Similar vein because I think we should get rid of it, but completely different sort of goal is Ryan Broom's.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, great goal. Yeah. We've spoken about it, but that's coming out.
Doesn't get it.
So we've now got a list of seven, including Morgan's goal against Ipswich.
Yeah.
And Peter Hartley's goal against Portsmouth. Now, Peter, I'm going to chuck this in now. We've got Tommy's and David's as huge moments, but not being the best goal. Peter Hartley's was a big moment.
Yeah.
And you've spoken about the noise and the feeling and everything. But for me, it was a playoff semi-final, and we then lost the final.
Yeah, I do
so
think
it doesn't
that
quite have the
same credence as the other two, unless you want to make an argument for it.
No,
and the other, and also the other two are better goals.
Yeah,
you know, they're not. You know, we're not knocking Hearts, are we, for his passion and getting in at the far post and getting it over the line? But the other two are, you know, objectively better goals.
Before I get rid of it, does it belong in there over Scott Sinclair's goal or Martin Barlow's goal?
Well, I think that, to me, the decision then comes, you could go, are we going to deliberately split the list and have a couple that are emotion-based goals that are still good goals, and are we going to have a couple
what,
that
what
are
What you think
so
is your
great.
Top five? So out of those, just say three.
Which three?
Sinclair.
Yeah.
Barlow.
Yeah.
Hartley.
Of those three.
Which one do you definitely not want in?
Hartley.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Oh, he's taking the emotion out of it, which is very un-Nance-like.
Reluctantly. All of these goals are fantastic.
So we're down to six, which is Tynan, 86, obviously, in.
Yeah.
Barley's against Exeter.
Yeah.
David Frio's against QPR. And then that's the next three are Sinclair, Barlow, Morgan Whittaker against Ipswich.
And how many spaces have we got left?
We've got two out of those three.
Okay.
I'll start and say that once again, when you go against one of these goals, you feel so personal about it. But I think, as wonderful as last season was, I almost feel that Barley's goal for me represents that one. We've got one in there. Perhaps you do a conversation of Barley v Morgan on those goals. But for me, I've already argued my case about Barley Mumba, and I don't think we need a second goal from that season. We've had a lot of great seasons. And I think we want to spread it apart.
I say we've locked Barley in. We could kick Barley out and put Morgan in.
If you two went Morgan over Barley, it's a democracy.
I don't think we can say that you can't have two goals from the same season.
I don't think we can't, but I think we've got such an amount of a choice. Yeah. I'd like to be able to do that.
So out of that six, so what would be your five?
Tynan, Frio, Barlow is free.
Yep. That's a big pause.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Mumbers is going to be there. And then I'm down between Sinclair and Whittaker. Is that right?
Yeah.
Then... Oh, wow. I'll make Morgan. Morgan, because it meant a lot to the club, to the team. Like I said, it gave us belief. I think it kicked us on to achieve what we achieved.
Absolute belting.
That aside, it was an unbelievable goal. It was a belter. So... Morgan's. I'm having two from last year. Morgan and Barley. Ryan Hardy's could have gone in, you know.
It could have. We got rid of it. Okay. And he'll be furious about that.
He will, yeah.
genuinely will.
Yeah.
I would go with Tynan, Mumba, Frio, Sinclair and Barlow. For the reasons I've just said, you know, was a great Morgan goal, so it split it. Can I just say, before you make what could now be the critical decision, to give you a little bit more time to sweat over it, there will clearly be people watching and listening to this that will be, you know, screaming all sorts of other goals, which is understandable, but also ones from other eras. I'm sure there are some of the great Argyle goal scorers from history, you know, that scored incredible amounts of goals all the way back through that I'm sure scored great goals in whatever eras. We haven't got the footage for them, or we weren't around for them, and so that's why we've not included them in, but I'm sure we all recognise that there are some incredible goal scorers for this football club over the years.
Great,
you mentioned that already. Yeah,
about great Mariner point. I mean, Paul
even
Mariner,
before that,
Hodgie. There's going to be goals that we've missed, but we can only go on what we've seen.
Yeah. And as we said at the start, if anybody does completely disagree and think we don't know what we're talking about, then the email address is rob.mcmichael. No, you can leave a comment.
You've said it now.
And
you?
Even
put
and
my
even
email on that.
Chuck anything else you think we should have been in there in. Whilst I. Well, actually, I know what my decision is, and
this is big, Nance, isn't it?
Oh, you better get this right, Char.
Yeah. So my top five would be, on the basis of what we've heard today and what I've seen, Tommy Tynan's goal against Bristol City, Barley Mumba's goal against Exeter City, David Frio's goal against QPR. Now I've seen it. Martin Barlow's goal against Shrewsbury, and I would say Scott Sinclair's goal against Crystal Palace, just on the fact that I've never seen a goal like it. Morgan's goal, I loved and actually went mental in commentary, like lost my head a little bit. So did Hasni Al Joffrey, actually, just a big old scream. But I can imagine seeing Morgan score a goal like that again. And yes, it was against Ipswich, and it gave us belief. And you know better than me and Rob because you were in and amongst the squad. But I've never seen a goal like Scott Sinclair's, apart from by Scott Sinclair against Barnet before.
I think what it comes down to with me is I think about, if I hadn't been part of this conversation and someone just presented me five goals, I think I'd be more surprised not to see Sinclair in it than I would be surprised to see Morgan Whittaker.
Have you got any argument, Nance?
Yeah, I've always got.
Of course he has. Silly question.
Yeah, I've got plenty of that. But no, listen, I respect that. Scott's was a fantastic goal. Everything you said about it is right. We've been blessed and very lucky to see so many great goals. And we could honestly talk for another hour, couldn't we?
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Listen, I'm a fair man. And if you believe Scott's goal was more worthy than Morgan's, then you better go and tell Morgan.
Well, the hope is that Morgan's going to score plenty more for our goal.
Yeah, we might have to update this by the end of the season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I'm comfy. I think there's some five great goals at the Devonport end that I'm sure all Argo fans will remember. And it'll be a topic of a conversation in many a pub, I hope.
It absolutely will. Just for finality, I'm going to go through it in date order. So Tommy Tynan's goal in our 4-0 win against Bristol City, promotion winning game in 1986.
Yep.
Martin Barlow scoring the second in a 2-0 win against Shrewsbury in 1999.
Yep.
David Frio's our second goal against QPR in 2004, again, promotion clinching goal and game. Scott Sinclair scoring against Crystal Palace in the Championship in 2007, and Barley Mumba's belter against Exeter City in 2022 completes our top five.
Very good.
I'm really, really looking forward to hearing other people's opinions about this, not just about the top five, but maybe ones that we didn't mention and so forth. But it does go to show what a brilliant, you know, even fairly recent history, because all of these are in the last, 40 years, aren't they? 37 yeah. years, I think we go back in this. And so yeah. there was a heck of a lot of football for, you know, nearly 100 years before that at Home yeah. Park, and a lot of it at the Devonport end. So, but there's a couple that I can't believe haven't made it from what I would have thought of initially. But I think it's a very fair list from what we've talked about.
I agree. I think, you know, we've been very blessed. It's like I said, we could have gone on and on and on, but all I can stress is what a feeling it must have been for these players to have scored those goals in front of the Devonport end. I can only dream and imagine what it must have felt like. But they're certainly iconic. They're certainly great. And I'm sure they'll live forever in Argo fans' memories.
Well, when you shut your eyes after slotting that past a Mansfield keeper,
yeah.
you knew for a split second what yeah. that felt like. As did I when I rose yeah, higher than yeah. all of those yeah. Shattered staff members.
Yeah.
but anyway, good. I'm sure everybody will disagree. Feel free to disagree, because it is a game of opinions, football.
Definitely.
And Argyle Fives is definitely a format of opinions, as we've seen today. But
are we going to do this again, Charlie? I think we should come up with some other topics and do this again.
Absolutely, 100%. This is just the first of what we're going to be doing.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to never miss an episode. This is the Argyle Podcast.
Well, thanks a lot for listening. Hope you did enjoy that. No doubt you will have disagreed with everything or parts of what we have said. And if you would like to watch that, you can do so. It is available on Argyle TV. If you're not a subscriber yet to Argyle TV, then what on earth are you waiting for? There's so much on there. Match day stuff, extended highlights, full match replays, behind the scenes footage, exclusive interviews, archived features, documentaries, and of course Argyle Fives. All of that is on there for you. Head to our website, pafc.co.uk, click on the Argyle TV tab. There are two options for you, whether you're an international based fan or in the UK, but all the information is on there for you. Make sure you do subscribe. You will not regret it. I can guarantee that. And if you do disagree with anything that Nance, myself, or Rob said on Argyle Fives, then please do let us know. You can drop us a message on social media. You can email us, media@pafc.co.uk, or you can just find Nance anywhere in Devon and tell him what goal should have been there. Only joking. Half joking, anyway. But there are plenty of other episodes for you to go back to and listen to of the Argyle Podcast. They are all on our website. And if you have a suggestion for a guest, I say this every week, but please do let us know who you would like to hear from. The email address to get us is media@pafc.co.uk.
The Argyle Podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to never miss an episode.